Welcome to Morgan Lewis Podcast Central, Dateline, June 10th, 2015. This is a podcast production of Morgan Lewis's Labor and Employment Law Flash. San Francisco Retail Workers Bill of Rights takes effect July 3rd, 2015. This edition of Morgan Lewis's Retail Did You Know discusses the obligations that the San Francisco Retail Workers Bill of Rights will impose on subject retailers and provides recommendations to ensure compliance. Now, on to the podcast. The San Francisco Retail Workers Bill of Rights, also referred to herein as the ordinances, goes into effect on July 3rd and imposes detailed regulations on the hiring, scheduling, promotion, payment, benefits, and equal treatment of full and part-time employees at formula retail establishments. This edition of Morgan Lewis's Retail Did You Know discusses the obligations that the San Francisco Retail Workers Bill of Rights will impose on subject retailers and provides recommendations to ensure compliance. The term formula retail establishment applies to businesses that maintain at least two of the following features: 1. A standard array of merchandise, 2. A standard facade, 3. A standardized decor and color scheme, 4. Uniform apparel, 5. Standardized signage, and 6. A trademark or a service mark. Retailers that have at least 20 formula retail establishments worldwide and 20 or more employees in the city and county of San Francisco will be subject to the ordinances. Prerequisites for hiring additional labor. Under the ordinances, covered employers may need to offer work to existing part-time employees before hiring any new full or part-time employees, contractors, or temporary employees to handle additional anticipated work. This hiring prerequisite is triggered when one or more part-time employees work less than 35 hours per week, an employer reasonably determines that an existing part-time employee is qualified to perform the additional anticipated work, and the additional work is the same or similar to the existing employee's work. This offer must be made in writing and be retained no less than 3 years. An employer need only offer an existing employee enough hours to give him or her 35 hours of work per week, and the employee may decline the offer. Equal treatment for part-time employees. Under the ordinances, subject employers must provide equal treatment to part-time employees as they do to full-time employees with the same job classification at the same level. This equal treatment applies with respect to 1. Starting hourly wage, 2. Access to employer-provided paid time off and unpaid time off, and 3. Eligibility for promotions, subject to certain qualifications. Part-time employees will be entitled to earn the same starting hourly wage as full-time employees hired into jobs that require equal skill, effort, and responsibility. Hourly wage differentials are permissible if they are based on reasons other than part-time status, such as seniority or merit systems. Employee time off allotments may be prorated based on hours worked. Scheduling. Prior to employment, employers must provide a new employee with a good faith written estimate of the employee's expected minimum number of scheduled shifts per month and the days and hours of those shifts. The estimate need not include on-call shifts. Employers must consider requests from an employee to modify the proposed schedule, but the employer retains sole discretion to grant or deny such requests and must notify the employee of the decision. Once employment begins, subject employers will be required to provide employees with their work schedules 2 weeks in advance. Schedules may be posted in the workplace or provided electronically so long as employees are given access to the electronic schedules at work. Employers must retain employee work schedules and payroll schedules for at least 3 years. Further, employers must provide employees with notice of schedule changes. A schedule change is defined as changing the date or time of a scheduled shift, canceling a scheduled shift, or requiring an employee to work when he or she was previously unscheduled. Predictability pay. If an employer makes changes to an employee's schedule with fewer than 7 days' notice but more than 24 hours' notice, the employer must provide the employee with 1 hour of pay for each shift change at the employee's regular hourly rate. If the employer changes the employee's schedule with less than 24 hours' notice, the employer must provide, at the employee's regular hourly rate, 2 hours of pay if the change shift is 4 hours or less, or 4 hours of pay if the change shift is longer than 4 hours. If an employee is required to be on call but is not called into work, an employer must provide the employee with 2 hours of pay if the on-call shift lasted 4 hours or less, or 4 hours of pay if the on-call shift exceeded 4 hours. If the employer provides at least 24 hours notice that the on-call shift has been canceled or moved to another day, then the employer will not be required to provide this compensation to the employee. Employers do not have to provide predictability pay or payment for on-call shifts if any of the following conditions apply. A. Operations cannot begin or continue because of threats to employees or property. B. Operations cannot begin or continue because public utilities fail. C. Operations cannot begin or continue due to an act of God, such as an earthquake. D. Another employee previously scheduled to work a shift is unable to work and did not provide at least 7 days' notice. E. Another employee failed to report to work or was sent home. F. The employer requires the employee to work overtime. And G. The employee trades shifts with another employee or requests a change in shifts. Obligations of successor employers. If a formula retail establishment is sold, the successor employer must retain for 90 days all employees who worked for the former employer for at least 6 months prior to the sale. If a successor employer determines that it needs fewer employees, it must retain the employees based on seniority. This requirement does not apply to supervisory or managerial employees. The successor employer must post a public notice of change of control at the establishment within 24 hours of the date that ownership is transferred. In addition, the successor employer must provide written notice to retained employees about their rights. If a successor employer determines that it requires fewer eligible employees than were employed by the previous employer, the successor employer will be required to retain eligible employees by seniority based on the date of hire by the former employer, or if there is an applicable collective bargaining agreement pursuant to that agreement. Property Services Contractor. The scheduling and equal treatment rules will also apply for property services contractors of formula retail establishments covered by the ordinances, which includes contractors that provide janitorial and/or security services. Service contracts with contractors for janitorial or security services must include 1. A provision requiring a contractor to comply with the ordinances, and 2. A copy of the ordinances. Covered retailers must also retain the contracts with these individuals for at least 3 years post-termination. Retaliation Prohibition. The ordinances prohibit adverse action against any employee in retaliation against the exercise of rights protected under these new rules. The ordinances create a rebuttable presumption that any adverse action within 90 days of exercising such rights is an act of retaliation. Posting of mandatory notices. The city's Office of Labor Standards Enforcement, the agency, will publish language regarding the new ordinances on or before their operative date. Covered employers should plan to post this language in a conspicuous area where other mandatory notices to employees are found. Enforcement. The agency is vested with authority to enjoin suspected violations pending a complete investigation. It may impose fines of $500 per eligible employee per violation and award additional penalties of $50 to each affected employee for each day his or her rights were violated. In addition to these penalties, the ordinances empower the agency to fashion appropriate relief, which includes, without limitation, awards of lost wages to affected employees and injunctive relief for violations. Employers will have an opportunity to respond to allegations before being issued a formal notice of violation and will have the burden on appeal of showing that an agency determination was improper. The agency may also promulgate new rules or guidelines that pertain to the ordinance's enforcement. Failure to comply with a notice of violation can result in civil action by a city attorney to obtain legal and equitable relief, including lost wages, injunctions, and attorney fees. Recommendations. To ensure compliance with the San Francisco Retail Workers' Bill of Rights, covered employers should review local hiring, promotion, time off, and wage policies to ensure that part-time employees are treated similar to full-time employees or are treated differently on the basis of some distinct characteristic other than part-time status or job title alone. Review local scheduling practices to prepare for compliance with the advance posting and notice requirements established in the new rules. Review local on-call staffing practices and evaluate any potential costs for continuing policies that regularly cause cancellation or rescheduling of on-call shifts. Assess how the new requirement for offering additional work to existing part-time employees may affect existing company policies of, for example, establishing benefits eligibility at or below 35 hours worked per week. Ensure that procedures are in place to comply with new record-keeping requirements. Begin drafting compliant work schedule notices that can be distributed to employees once the new rules become operative, and monitor the agency's publication of mandatory postings, and educate managers, payroll, and human resources personnel about these new rules, and ensure that employee and manager handbooks, including language reflecting that scheduling, promotion, and other policies implicated by these rules, will conform with applicable local law. Other legislation specific to San Francisco employers. Employers with operations in San Francisco City and County should also take this opportunity to review compliance with other regulations unique to the area, such as the following. Minimum wage. The minimum wage jumped to $12.25 on May 1st. Employers should update practices and postings accordingly. Paid sick leave. Employers generally must provide 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked by employees in San Francisco, including temporary and part-time staff. Commuter benefits. Employers must provide pre-tax transportation deductions, employer-paid transportation benefits, and/or employer-provided transportation. Healthcare security. Employers must make certain required expenditures on employees' health care services or reimbursement of the cost of such services. Fair chance ordinance. Employers must follow strict rules governing the use of applicants' and employees' arrest and conviction records. Family-friendly ordinance. Employers must provide qualifying employees with flexible and predictable working arrangements to care for young, seriously ill, and elderly family members, unless there are legitimate business reasons for refusing to do so. If you have any questions or would like more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please contact a Morgan Lewis attorney at morganlewis.com. This podcast is provided as a general informational service to clients and friends of Morgan Lewis & Bockius, LLP. It should not be construed as and does not constitute legal advice on any specific matter, nor does this message create an attorney-client relationship. These materials may be considered attorney advertising in some states. Please note that any prior results discussed in the material do not guarantee similar outcomes. Read more about Morgan Lewis and its market-leading labor and employment practice at morganlewis.com/labor.